All right, welcome once again to another edition of American Exposé. American spelled with a K all the time until things change. Will they change? That's up to all of us. All of us. Everyone getting involved in exposing the direction in place. Number 79 on research that Dennis the Menace and his staff have put together, the Rockefeller Commission on Population and the American Future. Number 79, you're encouraged to check that out. The Center for Research on Population and Security is number 80. And then you have the Intersex Society of North America, a world free of shame, secrecy, and unwanted genital surgery. The mess is very, very well exposed on our website. Here we have Preserve America, Explore and Enjoy Our Heritage. And then 76, Water 2025, Preventing Crisis and Conflict in the West. And then number 77, the Wildlands Project. It's a monster. No mention of water desalinization plants. This new person that's going to be the attorney, well, what is she going to be? The new attorney, Myers is her name. She's going to be withdrawn. Reluctantly accepts withdrawal of nominee Bush does. That's good. Anyone that Bush wants to put in place is going to be a communitarian. And I have to use that word communitarianism because that is what they use, the Communitary Network in Washington, D.C. And most people don't know what communitarianism is. It's reinvented communism, listeners. Reinvented communism. And the Anti-Communitarian League is responsible for exposing that big time better than anyone else. Nikki Rapana and the Anti-Communitarian League, the number one partner site on our website, AmericanExpose.com. So here we see Miami Airport reopens after hurricane. Floridian surprised by Wilma's intensity. There you have it again, the exposure of weather modification most needed at this critical time. To our representatives all over the country, state, federal, local, they've got to understand weather modification is reality. These hurricanes that has happened last year and this year could have been steered out of harm's way. So being that that's the case, you know exactly what's going on, listeners. Rebuilding America with smart growth. And there it is. And it's coming. And guess what? They're not going to hire people from this country. They're going to hire foreigners so they can pay them less to rebuild. Where our jobs are disappearing overseas and below the border as well. So the massive direction is well in place. It's a big thing. It's the UN system, listeners. That's what it is. And until somebody can prove otherwise, that's where we go with everything we do at this point in time. There is no choice in my mind to do anything other than that at this point in time. There's too many people that are unaware of this. There's another entry on research, Ashoka, to shape a citizen sector that is entrepreneurial, productive, and globally integrated. Number 73. This is incredible. These NGOs, non-governmental organizations, implementing this behind everyone's back with their sheer numbers because of poverty that's been generated for us, listeners. Poverty has been generated because of wars, weather modification, environmental modification. This is why poverty exists today more than anything else. And then the global economy with the World Trade Organization, the IMF, World Bank, Secretary of Treasury, U.S. Governor of the IMF, listeners. We're going to have Reverend Ted Pike with us when we return to give us an update on the hate crimes legislation that most of us are paying attention to. But we've got to continue with these directions to stop it. Stop all legislation. Is there any legislation that's any good anymore? We'll be back. Stay with us. And welcome back to the show, listeners. We have a new website that's going to be created. It's going to be Stop Agenda 21, a separate website than what we have, as we're going to expand even further, hopefully. That'll be StopAgenda21.com, a completely different site, an additional site to AmericanExpose.com that is in the works. Reverend Ted Pike's website is TruthTellers.org. That's TruthTellers.org. Listeners, and welcome to the broadcast again, Reverend Pike.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
Yes, sir.
Yes, we have had some very momentous and dramatic events in the last 5 weeks. As most of our listeners know, The big federal seat bill, which we have all been resisting, was passed by the House of Representatives as an amendment to a Children's Safety Act that went directly to the Senate Judiciary Committee, and we did a lot of encouragement of listeners to call in intensely to the members of the Senate Judiciary Committee, particularly the Republicans. We had a tremendous victory a week ago, last Thursday, where Orrin Hatch led a rebellion against the hate bill, and by a voice vote, he was able to strip the hate bill off of the Children's Safety Act. But we were warning at that time that Senator Edward Kennedy was vowing to bring this issue back to the floor of the Senate and incredibly try to reattach the hate bill back to the new version of the Children's Safety Act. And I just got word yesterday afternoon from a spokesman at Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist's office that he is expecting Senator Kennedy to try to reattach that on the floor of the Senate either today or tomorrow. He says that the agenda today and tomorrow deals with social issues in the Senate, and it's a perfect time for Kennedy to go into the gap there and grandstand and attempt to capitalize on the tremendous support for the hate bill, which he received about 15 months ago when the Senate voted 65-33 in favor of it. Unfortunately, that was cut off a year ago last October in conference between the House and the Senate, but the record is there that the Senate is strongly inclined toward favoring the hate bill. So we have a situation today which is literally a momentary. I'm getting practically hourly reports from the floor of the Senate now, seeing if Kennedy will attempt to do this.
Mm-hmm. And he will. He will, or someone else will. Won't he?
Well, he actually issued a press statement that he will do it. It's not speculation.
Right.
And Bill Frist, by the way, has been very much an opponent to the hate bill, and has provided great encouragement to us not only this year but in previous years. He's part of a group of a Senate and House Republicans who have adamantly resisted this hate crimes legislation. But what I'm calling all listeners to do right now is to literally blitz all the members of the Senate with protests. There's no way we can anticipate all of Teddy Kennedy's maneuverings. He's been a charlatan and a deceiver and a manipulator ever since Chappaquiddick, at least. And we can't anticipate what's going to happen on the Senate, perhaps today or tomorrow. But we do know that if people redouble their efforts today, literally today and tomorrow, to call the members of the Senate, even all 100 of them, and let them know we will not stand for Kennedy reattaching the hate bill. Actually, at my website, which is www.truthtellers.org, I have the 100 members of the Senate, the 55 Republicans, the 44 Democrats, and one independent there. I have their list, and you can just print that out and begin to call. Sit down for an hour and a half or so and make a real contribution to freedom for you and for your children. And that phone number, the toll-free number to the members of Congress, is 888-355-3588. Again, that toll-free number is 888-355-3588. And just tell them, please don't add any hate laws to legislation in this Congress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the thing to do.
Well, what we've seen is that what I've done in kind of the I'm kind of the guerrilla leader of this movement.
You are. You are the guerrilla leader of this movement, correct.
And maybe I've been on too much talk radio. I'm getting a little obnoxious. People are hearing me too much. I don't know. But all I know is...
That's the way I feel.
I just have to keep adapting to new strategies here. And what we find in the conventional opposition from more respectable leaders than myself is just tell the people to call their members of Congress. Well, what we have out here in the huge audience of activists in the Republic Broadcasting Network and others such as Genesis are real fighters who are descendants in spirit as well as physically of the patriots and the Minutemen of our founding days, who are willing to sacrifice and willing to do more than just make a couple of obligatory calls to their members of the Senate. But what we do, folks, is we come to Truth Tellers, we get that list of the Republicans and Democrats, and then you just make this one call, and the Capitol operator will put you in touch with the first senator's office, which you request. You just give them this simple message: please don't add any hate laws in this term of Congress. And then don't hang up, but leapfrog over to the next senator down the line. You'll probably have to go back to the Capitol operator. The receptionist will send you back to the operator, but you never have to get off the phone usually and call again. With one a toll-free number, you can call and spend about an hour and a half and call all the Republicans, all the senators. And I tell you, if we have an upheaval of protest right now, it is going to impact Congress. It's going to impact both Republicans and Democrats. Now, it hasn't been brought to the floor yet this morning. They've been considering another bill, but it could come this afternoon. It could come tomorrow, or it could come a week or two from now. We don't know. All I know is that Senator Frist's representative gave me his best advice that it will probably come. Senator Kennedy will probably come to the floor of the Senate sometime today or tomorrow, because the Senate is dealing with issues very, very germane to hate crimes, and it will be the time of Kennedy's best advantage.
Isn't that neat? I'm on your website. My computer shut down.
Oh, really?
Yep, completely shut down.
Oh, my.
Yep.
Well, I know I'm being sabotaged in libraries. I'm known as cyber hate in libraries now. But
yep, my computer shut down, won't come back on. Well, that just goes to show how much of an effect you're having, apparently.
Well, we are experiencing some harassment. We're keeping ahead of it technologically. But I should mention that folks can't get to my website and they want to do this, be sure to go to your local library, and the librarian will bring out those 100 names of the members of the Senate. I should mention also that heretofore I have been concentrating only on the 55 Republican members of the Senate, because historically, over the past 6 years, it's been the Republicans again and again and again as conferees in conference who have stripped this hate bill off of larger arms bills and so on. But Dr. James Dobson has a very intriguing report in one of his recent emails on this subject. He describes how Christian ex-homosexuals have a group called Exodus, I believe they're called, have been walking the halls of the Senate office buildings and buttonholing the senators and their staffs, and are finding quite a different mood among the Democratic senators than we might expect. They are getting so much flack, so much criticism of the hate bill, that they're beginning to waffle. They're beginning to wonder if maybe it's not such a good idea to give special federal protection to certain protected groups such as Jews and homosexuals and so on. Maybe our traditional justice system, they are beginning to query, may be adequate to deal with the complex issue of bias-motivated crime after all. And so what I'm doing now is I'm expanding the roster of those that I'd like people to call to include not only the 55 Republicans, but let's see if we can get a sizable amount of Democrats breaking ranks with the traditional Democratic solidarity in favor of hate laws.
Yeah, good point. Very good point. Very important. I'm absolutely, totally convinced at this point you're having an effect, because I've never had this happen before, have this computer shut down like it has. It's just non-responsive at this point in time.
Really?
And that's never happened to me before. So, obviously, apparently, you're having an effect on this.
Mm.
And I've been spanked here for bringing you on. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, I was on with Bill Brumbaugh one time up in Montana, and a federal drug enforcement helicopter descended on his house about 90 feet above his house and hovered there shaking the windows while I was making a similar announcement of warning to the country.
Well, I wouldn't mind having that happen to me because they might not shut down my computer.
But also, folks, at truthtellers.org, as soon as it may get running again, you will find lots of interesting articles. We have a couple of very powerful, very brief articles there that we need to send as missiles of truth into the Senate. We need to take this priceless opportunity right now to not only defeat the hate bill, but educate our members of Congress.
Thank you, Ted. I sure appreciate it.
Thank you, Chris.
888-355-3588 is the number to Capitol Hill. Truthtellers.org is the website for Reverend Ted Pike. Thank you once again, Ted. 888-355-3588 to Capitol Hill. Make that happen. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the broadcast. Certainly, there is a code word for Agenda 21. I was hoping someone would give us that code word for Agenda 21. Maybe someone I don't even know would be logical, because most of us that do know what the code word for Agenda 21 is. National Geographic Channel next week will have a special, and it's probably going to be a week-long special on National Geographic Channel inside Hurricane Katrina next week. That's going to be on the National Geographic Channel. I suggest you all view that. I want to connect dots as best as possible to what's going on today. I think the best way to do that is to go to Chapter 23, Strengthening the Role of Major Groups of Agenda 21. They say, critical to the effective implementation of the objectives, policies, and mechanisms agreed by governments in all program areas of Agenda 21 will be the commitment and genuine involvement of all social groups. All social groups. That is the point of the NGO implementation of all this that's going on today. And we are in the midst of it in a major direction, in every major direction. And there is the crux of the situation that we live with today. We are being maneuvered and manipulated on a daily basis through the UN system to connect these dots, to control us all, to control everything that we do, to move communities, or to move towns, to move residences. They have plenty of implementation processes to allow this to happen. Weather modification, environmental modification, wars, I keep saying it over and over again, and it is very relevant because here, as I covered last night, Gorbachev addresses ECU on world poverty problems. And I was wondering just a few days ago, where is Mikhail Gorbachev? And maybe even a listener called in to ask that question. What's Mikhail Gorbachev up to these days? And here he is right in Ada, Oklahoma yesterday. Or I guess it was Tuesday. Mikhail Gorbachev, the last Soviet Union president and Nobel Peace Prize winner, told spectators Tuesday night, the world hasn't learned lessons of the Gulf War. I'm sorry, of the Cold War. The world hasn't learned lessons of the Cold War. And we haven't learned lessons from the Gulf War either, actually. But the Gulf War is a UN peacekeeping operation. Gulf War I was a UN peacekeeping operation. Gulf War II is a peacekeeping operation of the United Nations system. Quote, according to Gorbachev, so in the world today, fear and the use of forces will not solve problems, end quote. And he said this through a translator at East Central University's Correctivity Center. We need new thinking, he says. Mikhail Gorbachev, listeners. Mikhail Gorbachev, people. Gorbachev has been in the United States since Thursday discussing ways to bring peace and end poverty in the world. He said ending poverty is crucial in bringing world stabilization and the end of terrorism. He said it took the crushing of fears between the United States and the Soviet Union to change the course of the world. Well, if you read New Lies for Old by Anatoly Golitsyn, you'll realize this man has been very, very correct in his predictions about the collapse of the Soviet Union. That was written in 1984. It was very relevant to this situation we have today. Isn't that amazing? Quote, we had great hopes that this would usher in great changes, he said. But the opportunities, and I continue quoting, that were opened by that change were not fully used. I wonder why, and I wonder how come. I think that the most important thing today is to understand, to analyze the situation, end quote. Wasn't that what we do all the time? Analyze, to understand the situation of Agenda 21? And that's why I told the listener yesterday who's going to be at one of these Gorbachev speeches to ask him, tell us about Agenda 21. And I should have asked him, and if he's listening, to ask him about environmental modification. And is it being used today around the world? That would be a second question to ask Mikhail Gorbachev. He knows. He knows what the heck's going on. Absolutely. There's another man that needs truth serum to the people of the world about what's really going on today. Mary B. Meanders drove 40 minutes from Paul's Valley with a friend to hear Gorbachev speak. And listen to what this lady has to say, or woman has to say. Quote, this was a chance in a lifetime to see a world leader that I admire. I really admire this man. I thought I'd never see the fall of communism. And there it is, the fall of communism, end quote. The fall of communism. Did communism really fall? And what is communitarianism, listeners? The Communitarian Network is there for you to observe. On AmericanExpose.com, America spelled with a K, not a C. What's the code word for Agenda 21, listeners? We'll be back to continue. Stay with us. This situation with Gorbachev, this Mary M. Meanders, who drove 40 miles from Paul's Valley, Oklahoma, to Ada, Oklahoma, to hear Gorbachev speak. She says, quote, he's not in power now, but his ideas are in power, end quote. And there is what she thinks about this whole situation. What are his ideas? What are his ideas from Green Cross International, listeners? And is this woman brainwashed? Absolutely, totally so. During his presidency, and there you go, the Russians have a presidency, we have a presidency for our dumbing down process. Absolutely so. And this was from 1985 to 1991. Gorbachev worked on Perestroika, his campaign to revitalize the Communist Party and the Soviet Union's economy and society by adjusting economic, political, and social mechanisms. He resigned on Christmas 1991. That month, the Soviet Union dissolved, and the Commonwealth of Independent States was founded. And what does that do? That gives more votes in the UN system and the World Trade Organization to the Russians and their Commonwealth of Independent States, listeners. More votes in the UN system, which, you know, we still have one vote. How many republics do they have, listeners? And they have every one of those extra votes to maneuver into the UN system. Many credit Gorbachev's relationship with President Reagan with ending the Cold War. And there is Ronald Reagan, Red Ronnie, and his Sovietization of the educational system, which is very well chronicled by Charlotte Isaby in her book, The Deliberate Down of Deliberate Dumbing Down of America. The two signed an arms limitation treaty in 1987. Gorbachev founded several organizations and is the president of the International Foundation for Social, Economic, and Political Studies, also known as the Gorbachev Foundation, based in Moscow. And it's my understanding there's many Gorbachev foundations set up around the world, just like Clinton's doing his thing as well. Interesting. Gorbachev won the Nobel Peace Prize in 1990 for efforts to reduce tensions with the West. He was succeeded by Boris Yeltsin. Ada was prepared for the former world leader's visit. On Main Street, a sign welcomed Gorbachev. Ada police officers and Oklahoma Highway Patrol troopers searched bags and directed visitors to their, it says, to their tickets and seats. Police expected 4,000 spectators. College-age students attended, but most appeared to be in their 40s and older. So there you have that, and I did cover this last night, but it's worthy of hearing again. Mikhail Gorbachev, another person that needs truth serum to the people of the world about what's really going on in the world. And we really love to hear the truth from many of these quote-unquote world leaders as the globalization and global governance is being engineered. We have Trish with us, and I know Trish knows the answer. I wasn't expecting that, but come on, Trish. How are you today? Hello, Trish.
Hi, how are you doing?
Fine, thanks.
Good. Well, if it's the one I'm thinking of, it's a phrase, it's a word that incorporates Agenda 21. It's action. Agenda 21, community teamwork in operation now.
Actually, the code word for Agenda 21 is something that is being used now. And it's being used as the code word for Agenda 21. And
yeah.
It's two words.
Well, it's smart growth. That's one.
That's one of them, but that's not the main one.
Yeah,
the
right.
Main one.
There are many.
The main code word for Agenda 21
is sustainable development.
What'd you say?
Sustainable development.
Yeah, that's the code word for Agenda 21. That's whenever you hear sustainable this, sustainable that, it's all about implementation of Agenda 21. It's the code word for Agenda 21, sustainable development. And there is where it lies.
Yes, and another thing I have to say to you, you were talking about giving all these leaders truth serum.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just have to tell you, I think the elitists would know the antidote and it wouldn't work.
Well, we'd have to have some kind of a commission that we could trust to do this.
I have such a distrustometer that I don't know.
I know that, and it's a push, you know.
Yes.
It's a push, but we know everyone's lying to us. All these leaders are lying to us, and you know, here we're having these weather anomalies put on us that don't necessarily have to happen because they can be steered away from this country. So obviously they want to create the chaos in America. Correct?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they do. Well, I didn't have anything else. You shouldn't have given me three chances like that. That was not fair to anyone else.
Well, it's okay. And I'm flying blind now that my computer shut down. So.
Dad, welcome to the club.
You have that problem as well?
No. My computer's working just fine. In fact, I was able to get into Truth Tellers just fine, and you know, mm-hmm. what you're talking about earlier. So.
Yeah, I was able to get into it last night, but not today. Anyway.
Wow.
I appreciate your help, Trish.
No problem.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye. Here we see, and this is from the Des Moines Register listeners out of Iowa. The diverse, ambitious proposal would expand the city by 6,000 acres. The outcome of seven-year fight over the largest annexation plan in state history will be determined next month when voters decide whether Des Moines should expand by 6,000 acres. The plan, which will be on the November 8th ballot, is as controversial as it is ambitious. The matter will be settled by a simple majority of ballots cast, with city residents and those in the areas to be annexed eligible to vote on the proposal. Anticipated low turnout could help the opponents, election officials say. Quote, just because your neighbors have nice, shiny apples on a tree doesn't give you the right to pick them, and that's exactly what's happening here, end quote, said Dick McPherson, chairman of the Iowa Rural Rights Association and a critic of the city's plan, which supporters say will spur development and generate $120 million in property tax revenue over the next 20 years. Let's see. Where's the rest of this article? Let's see. City leaders say annexation is a first step to manage growth that is inevitable, particularly around the recently completed Iowa Highway 5 bypass on the southern edge of the city. Annexation sets the stage for retail stores, housing, and office complexes, they say, while a rural area lacking sewers and other municipal services would promote inexpensive development and delay flood control and other environmental planning. Quote, it's certainly not an overstatement to call this a critical decision, end quote, said City Attorney Bruce Bergman. Quote, it's important to Des Moines' future, end quote. And that is the way they play these games on sustainable development. But Reuben Fields Sr. and his neighbors say their future have been ignored in the city's rush to gobble up ground. Quote, the city isn't even able to take care of what they have. How can they provide services here, end quote, asked Fields, who lives on the 4,000 block of Northeast 46th Avenue and helped organize citizens for responsible annexation. He and many of his neighbors want to maintain a tranquil rural setting where deer and cornfields are right outside their back doors. Quote, I just pray that people will use some good judgment when they vote. We hope people will realize this is a mistake, end quote. The Iowa Supreme Court has already sided with the pro-annex forces in the battle that began in 1998 when Des Moines sought involuntary annexation of roughly 8,800 acres south and northeast of the city limits. The plan drew objections from rural landowners and Warren County elected officials and said it would jack up property taxes in the annexed areas with no guarantee that streetlights and sewer systems would follow. I tore out part of this article that I can't read. So we see here our developer Michael Coppola, owner of the Four Cinema and Cafe on the city's south side, agreed to the annexation of roughly 150 acres. Growth might be possible without annexation. Quote, it's more difficult, end quote, he said. Quote, I'm interested in the creation of value. It would be silly for me to want to remain without services, end quote, such as sewer systems. Once again, that's what we're all supposed to get on eventually, is water treatment and sewer treatment facilities. We're supposed to be piped in through all of that, ultimately, with these smart communities that are going to be engineered under the guise of sustainable development. Fields and his friends, meanwhile, have held out. His family purchased a home on 19 acres about 2 years ago, unaware of the city's annexation plans. Several developers have since made offers on the property, with an eye on condemnation and other projects. Fields won't disclose details, but said the offers have been quite lucrative. Quote, we're not in it for the money, end quote, he said. Quote, we don't want to develop, end quote. Des Moines' plan took shape amid 4 years of budget shortfalls that forced more than 100 job cuts and increases on more than 50 fines and fees. City leaders' project a shortfall next year of up to $5.3 million, but they're adamant that services can be extended to the targeted areas as development occurs. Projections show that the cost to extend services would be about $31 million over 20 years. Well, apparently, according to Joan Vian's book, The Global Straitjacket, in 20 years, we're all supposed to be in sustainable communities. That's their projective dates, 2025, to be in sustainable communities. So now I go back to Chapter 23 of Agenda 21, strengthening the role of major groups. One of the fundamental prerequisites for the achievement of sustainable development is public participation in decision-making. Furthermore, in the more specific context of environmental development, the need for new forms of participation has emerged. This includes the need of individuals, groups, and organizations to participate in environmental impact assessment protocols and to know about and participate in decisions, particularly those which potentially affect the communities in which they live and work. Individuals, groups, and organizations should have a source of information relevant to environmental and development held by national authorities, including in and on products and activities that have or are likely to have a significant impact on the environment, and information on environmental protection measures. That's a whole lot of wording, a whole lot of propaganda that means a whole little to most people. And there is the crux of the situation. Most people can't stomach UN lingo, and that's the way they like it. They like this. They like people to be unsure of what they're reading and hearing. So you have strengthening the role of major groups. And we're talking about 24, a global action for women towards sustainable and equitable development. 25, children and youth in sustainable development. 26, recognizing and strengthening the role of indigenous people and their communities. Number 27, strengthening the role of non-governmental organizations, partners for sustainable development. Number 28, local authorities' initiatives in support of Agenda 21. Local authorities' initiatives in support of Agenda 21. That's very, very vital. Local police, listeners. Code enforcement officers, people. Number 29, strengthening the role of workers and their trade unions. Number 30, strengthening the role of business and industry. Number 31, scientific and technological community. And number 32, strengthening the role of farmers. Strengthening the role of farmers, people. So, as we go through the broadcast today, we're going to cover information that I've saved. Being that my computer has crashed, more than likely totally crashed. Never had this happen before. But there is a drive to save wetlands by Brad Knuckerbocker. He's a staff writer for the Christian Science Monitor. Army Corps, Congress, even Supreme Court weigh in with possible policy changes. In the wake of Hurricanes Katrina and Rita, and with Wilma on the way, and this is dated October 19th, the wetlands have suddenly become a hot political, scientific, and legal issue. Preserving wetlands along the Louisiana coast might have lessened the hurricane damage, scientists say. So some planners are looking at how to restore them around New Orleans and other Gulf Coast communities. At the same time, however, and get this, three new reports criticize the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers for lax monitoring and enforcement of wetlands preservation. Well, that's probably because they're too busy tearing down hydroelectric dams, in my opinion. Congress is also delving into the subject by looking into strengthened wetlands protection. Even the U.S. Supreme Court is getting involved in key cases that could set policy for decades to come. Ouch. Three challenges suggest that the White House may not be keeping its wetlands pledge of no net loss environmentalist charge. Quote, they're not fully applying the Clean Water Act, as it's written in quote, says Julie Sibbing, who follows agriculture and wetlands issues for the National Wildlife Federation in Washington. Recent reports heighten these concerns. The Government Accountability Office, the GAO, last week criticized the Army Corps, one of the main federal agencies charged with protecting wetlands, for not adequately tracking efforts by developers and others to mitigate the loss of wetlands. In another report, the watchdog agency found that the Corps has not been adequately explaining its reasons for not assuming jurisdiction over disputed cases involving wetlands. We'll be back to continue with wetlands and what it all means, especially regarding Hurricane Katrina. We'll be back. Stay with us. There is that talented group called Poker Face Listeners. The more I listen to them, the more I like them. Pokerface.com is their website. Support them however you can. Their message is pivotal in making the direction change for the better for mankind. Let's take a phone call. John in Michigan, welcome to the broadcast, John.
Good morning, or good afternoon, Chris.
Thanks for the warning.
I enjoy all of your discussions about Agenda 21 and weather modification. I think they're the most critical issues that can be brought out.
You're right.
And I've talked with you before about our northern Michigan issues with Agenda 21, but another issue you brought up when you were talking about Iowa was the tax factor. And I don't know if you've ever had the gentleman who exposed the confidential annual financial reports.
Walter Burian.
Okay.
I've worked with him before.
Well, I think that if you could get him on, again, just to keep it out in the out to the public again, since your audience is probably growing.
You know, we've done this for how long with Walter Burian? Hasn't he been exposing this for about 5 years?
I think so. I got the one tape from Alex Jones that he put out.
How come nobody else gets on board with this comprehensive annual financial report? Why is it that it's just Walter Burian that does this? Why can't he generate momentum from other researchers to further his cause?
Well, people up here are doing it. They have this thing really clouded under different titles and different names.
Mm-hmm.
And right now we have a group of people that are working in locally to try to expose it. So it was just the thought that...
I would be happy to put him on again.
Okay. I heard that he's been threatened and his children have been threatened by whoever that might have an interest in.
Are you in touch with him at all?
No, I'm not. I just heard about that on a program. I think someone else brought that up in regards to that, someone that had exposed it in their town. It's just something that's really kept...
under wraps.
Yep, with a tight lid on it. And in the meantime, we have all of this money being spent on other areas and taxes being constantly updated or
upgraded.
Not upgraded.
The taxation system continues to rise, doesn't it?
Amen. And as far as Poker Face, the gentleman who built John Stapmiller's Aaronizer website lives up here, and he went and saw Poker Face up in the Upper Peninsula here, and he's been a great Poker Face fan for a couple of years now. So
we
know
about
him up here. Pardon me?
They're very, very good, aren't they?
Oh, yes, and unfortunately, they'll never get top 40 airplay. So, all right, keep up the good work, Chris. I love your. You can talk about Agenda 21 to me all the time and weather modification, because for years up here I've been trying to expose it. We've had some of the chemtrails here. I paint outdoors during the summer and work outdoors a lot. They've been spraying up here for years, since 97. It really started heavy in the year 2000.
Yes.
And they just have a major spraying down here Friday. They have probably 50 planes in the air.
Why don't you stay with me? Let's hold over,
okay.
And I want to ask you a question. We'll be back to continue with John and continue with the broadcast. Lots of information to cover. It's not going to be off the computer, however. Stay with us.